This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, we thank you for tuning us in. We trust the program will bless you and help you. Now, I do give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you would like to have those addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. This program is available on the website. You can re-listen to it there, and there is a weekly meditation, testimonies, questions and answers, and other information that you might find helpful on the website. Now today we're going to look at the 11th miracle of the Lord Jesus, 11 in the sequence that we've been using. And this one has to do with the Lord raising a widow's son from the dead. And so I want to look with you at Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 11, which says, "Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her." Now, I just want to stop here a minute. This dead man was probably the widow's support and help. In that day, they didn't have Social Security or food stamps or any of our social programs. And so likely when he died, her means of support, even a place perhaps to live, died with him. And so he was the only son of his mother. She had no place else to turn. We don't know whether or not she had other family, that is, whether she would have had a mother and a father or any other family that could have helped her. But this woman was probably destitute as a result of this son of hers dying. So he was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So she didn't have a husband. I forgot to mention that. She was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Now, I want to just stop there again for a moment and notice that the Lord is a Lord that has compassion. We find in Hebrews that he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities because he was in all points tested like we are, yet he was without sin when he was tested. And so sometimes we look at the God of the Old Testament and we say we don't really like the fact that there were so many wars and so many judgments that took place back there, and we seem to think that this God that we worship, this holy God that we worship, has no feelings and no compassion. But we know that the Lord Jesus is the representation of God. We've mentioned here time after time, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John chapter 1. And the Word is the message from God and the vehicle that carries that message. And as we look at the Lord Jesus, we find out in John 1, further on down in the passage, that the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So God has not changed. He's always been a God of compassion. He shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and guard his truth. That's according to the Ten Commandments. And so he's always been a God of compassion. But we see that compassion here and in his earthly journey in this life, more so than perhaps we would see it in some of the history of the Old Testament. We see that compassion in the Psalms, but we see that compassion clearly as we look at the Lord's interaction with the poor, with the lame, with those who were leprous, and now in particular with this widow who had lost her only son and obviously as a widow had no husband. So then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Now this man was dead, and yet he could respond to the voice of the Lord. Why should that seem to be impossible? We know that we who are saved are dead in trespasses and sins, and yet we can respond to the voice of the Lord. And We need to respond to the voice of the Lord. But this shows us that death is not the cessation of being. It's not the cessation of existence. It's the cessation of life as we know it on this earth. But this man heard the voice of the Lord, and he, the next verse says, so he who was dead, and he was dead now, sat up and began to speak, and he, that is the Lord, presented him to his mother. And fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up amongst us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. And then we read about John the Baptist, who was in prison, and he, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And this is a remarkable thing that John the Baptist did, because he had been the forerunner, the herald, that had introduced the Lord to the nation of Israel and had prepared them by asking them to confess their sin and to be identified with repentance through baptism, through recognizing that they had turned away in the Old Testament from God. And so he had been preparing the heart of the people. He had been convicting them of their sin. He had been baptizing them so that they would publicly confess that sin. And now he's asking whether he has done the right thing or not, because he's in jail. And the Lord should have been able to release him from jail if he was the coming one. But he hadn't seen fit to do that. And finally, John the Baptist loses his head because he had rebuked Herod for marrying marrying Herodias, and so his brother Philip's wife. And so we know that probably John the Baptist was just a little confused, but it seems that it was this miracle that was supposed to give him reassurance that everything he believed was true. Because he says, when they're asked, are you the coming one, or do you look for another, he tells his disciples to go show John the miracles that the Lord was doing. And this, I believe, was reassuring to John. Now, when we look at this miracle, the reason we're looking at it is because we believe that we should be able to have confidence in the Lord himself and in the things he did and in the things that he said. And we've been noting that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but we've got to hear truth. And so when we look at the Bible, we know that there were the most important of the miracles that were done in the Bible, apart from creation itself, were the miracles that involved resurrection. But we need to distinguish between those who were raised from the dead to die again, and those who will be raised from the dead never to die again. Some have said that the true resurrection is only the latter. However, I think the term resurrection can be applied to both, being raised from the dead. But there is that distinction, because we find that there were a number of people in the Bible that were raised from the dead. Don't you wish that you could experience or see somebody raised from the dead? Well, there are those who have what they call near-death experiences that say they were raised from the dead. Now, you can't have a near-death experience and be raised from the dead. You have to have a death experience if you're raised from the dead and remember it. And I think as we go through the scriptures, Paul himself in Acts chapter 12 may have had one of those experiences. I think we read about it in, give me a minute, I'll find it in Acts chapter 20. There was a man raised from the dead by Paul when he had preached a little too long, and the man had himself gone to sleep and fallen off a windowsill. Paul raised him from the dead. But in Acts 14 and verse 19, he was taken outside of Lystra and stoned. And when he talks about that experience, and it seems to be that experience in 2 Corinthians 12, it appears that he had a near death, as the world would call it, a near death experience, but it was really a death experience where he was caught up into the third heaven and heard words that just simply could not be expressed properly. And he says they were, it was not lawful for them to be uttered. So when we look at people in the Bible who have death experiences and are raised from the dead, that may be a type of resurrection that we would see today, but generally a resurrection is much clearer than that in the Bible, much more important than that. But the resurrection in the Bible is the thing that proves the person has the creatorial power of God himself behind the word that he's giving. And so prophets Elijah and Elisha both were given a stamp of approval by God himself by raising people from the dead. I think we find that Elijah raised the widow of Zarephath's son. You can go back to 1 Kings 17 and read about that. And Elisha, who followed him, raised the Shunammite son, a woman who had befriended him, and that's in 2 Kings 4 and starting at verse 20. And there was a man who was tossed into Elisha's tomb when they were burying him, and he was raised from the dead. It was a very astounding thing to find that when they were about to bury a man, but when they saw a band of robbers coming, they simply threw the dead man's body into Elisha's tomb. And then the Bible says when the corpse touched Elisha's bones, he revived. That's 2 Kings 13 and verse 21. So these were Old Testament examples of people who were raised from the dead. And again, those were in periods when God was doing extraordinary miracles because the children of Israel by and large had departed from him, and he was sending prophets that could speak to them, and because the Jews seek after signs, he was giving signs that these prophets were speaking for God. But now it's the Lord Jesus who is speaking or expressing God to us, and he raises this widow's son. She was this widow's son. And then we find out that in Mark chapter 5, there's a 12-year-old daughter of a ruler in the synagogue that is raised from the dead. And of course, we'll also remember that Lazarus was raised from the dead, and the Lord had compassion on the friends of Lazarus. Now, the real resurrection that we're concerned about today is the resurrection that comes when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And just as the word of the Lord had the power to give physical life, the Bible, which is the word of the Lord, has power to give spiritual life. And that verse is such an important verse in the preaching of the gospel. When we are saved, we pass from spiritual death or separation from God unto life. And it's the miracles that God did physically that give us confidence in the miracle that he does spiritually when we trust in the truth that Christ is in fact the Messiah, that he came and died in our place for our sins. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.